are you listening to? Well, that's the sound of a 22 long tearing through a hornet's nest. Now, why is it funny and how is it connected to the death of freedom in America? Hang on, I'm going to tell you.
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hats off to Larry.
Larry. Fucking Larry.
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 Larry. Larry, get into bed now.
Come on, Larry. Larry. Larry.
Who shoots up a hornet's nest? I do. Or I did, I should say. And I would again if the opportunity presented itself. My old band partner, Pontiac Pete. His family owned a farm up in the woods of Connecticut. I think it was about 60 acres, which isn't much in Kansas or Texas, but in Connecticut, that's a damn big chunk of land. And every now and then, Pete and I we'd throw the guitars in his Oldsmobile and haul ass up there for a couple of days of picking and grinning and sipping rocket fuel liquor called Yukon Jack. And I know you're thinking, wait a minute, Pontiac Pete, how come he had an Oldsmobile? That's for another show, I'll tell you. So we'd work on new songs and chop wood for the pot-bellied stove and generally have a good old time. One of these excursions was in midsummer, and Pete's younger brother John was up there with the rest of the family. Nicer people there never were. Besides being a very funny dude and a world-class impressionist, John was always a gun guy. He started his collection with a magnificent Colt Python. And on this weekend, he had just bought a bolt-action Marlin 22. He had a couple of boxes of fresh ammo, and so we decided to head out into the woods and see what we could plink at. We hiked for a stretch, didn't see any turkeys or mountain lions. There are wild turkeys in Connecticut, by the way, at least there were back then. At one point, we stopped walking and stood still for a while. Maybe some game would present itself. I'm not much of a hunter. And I was thinking, this is a waste. And suddenly, John says, hey, listen to that. Well, I listened and thought that maybe some dude was flying one of those toy planes way off in the distance. It was that kind of a high-pitched buzz. Then we both looked up, way the hell up there, like 70, 80 feet up, hanging in a mostly dead pine tree, was a hornet's nest the size of a lampshade. John grinned at me like a televangelist and said, the Lord does provide. Then he shouldered that Marlin and peered through the scope. The crack of a 22 has such a distinctive sound, way different than the bark of a 38 or the cough of a 12-gauge. He hit that hive amidships. A piece of whatever crap they make it from blew off and fluttered toward the earth. For a moment, I thought, we were wrong, that the thing was abandoned and maybe all that buzzing was somebody's toy airplane. But then the buzzing got louder, and suddenly a cloud of those insects formed and started circling around. It looked like a cartoon. The entire nest must have emptied out in a rage to kill. John and I watched them. We laughed hysterically. They're way up there, desperate to sting the perpetrator to death, defending their precious queen and their shitty apartment complex. Well, after a while, the swarm dispersed, and they all flew back inside. John handed me the rifle. I racked the bolt, shouldered the gun, and exhaled as I squeezed the trigger, and another flap of mud paper blew out the exit wound, but this time, they were clearly on battle stations. Thousands of them zipped out of that thing and flew around in a fury. As we laughed, we wondered if they had ranks in their little Army Air Force. Was the leader named Squadron Commander Buzz, and was he barking orders at all the drones and hornet speak? How long were they flying around this time in search of their tormentors? Well, John and I kept up our sniping with the same result from every shot, and pretty soon, we had put 100 rounds into that thing, and it was in tatters. We were proud of our accomplishment. I never liked hornets. One had stung me as a kid. Hey, payback's a bitch. let the sins of the fathers be visited upon the children. It was a dark day for that hive. Entomologists doubtless claim hornets are smart, but they looked kind of stupid that day in the woods. It never occurred to them to search at a different altitude. If they had, we'd have been in trouble. What's the point of this? Well, America has been taken over by hive mentality human beings. And that portends the end of America for sure. Hive mentality human beings have always been around, but they lacked organization and leadership and a purpose until a twisted evil cretin named Karl Marx and his bunk punk Engels wrote a manifesto. That's never a good word. Anyone who writes anything called a manifesto is invariably an asshole. Hive minds have only two thought processes. The first one is, lead me. Since they have zero initiative, zero creativity, and zero boldness, of course, they desperately need a group and a leader. They love to elevate their leaders to godlike status. Huh? Hitler, Stalin, Lenin, Mao. Lenin's been dead for a century, and his mummified corpse is still on display in a glass box in his custom-built, fortified, heavily guarded mausoleum. Just the same as every other dead equal proletariat worker, right? Those farmhands and mill workers, they all get equal fabulous burials, don't they? Hive dwellers love to gush over their leaders, and as they're fond of calling them,
our elected officials.
They look at them as surrogate parents, at least in life. Their elected officials really do represent mommy and daddy, and when they die, then they become gods. Maybe hive dwellers have shit families. They do tend to loathe traditional families. It's probably rooted in envy. The only other thought of the hive mind, and it is one collective mind, except for the queen. That lard ass just sits around all day getting fat and laying eggs and being served by her slaves, which is the rest of the hive. The only other thought they have besides following a leader is to demand conformity of non-hivers. Everybody has to do everything together and be the same and dress the same and sing the same songs and eat the same food and live the same. And if you resist, they'll fucking kill you. It's right there in Marx's manifesto. He calls for the, quote, forcible overthrow of all existing social conditions, unquote. That doesn't sound like organic change, does it? There's nothing about choice in there, is there? And the overthrow of all existing social conditions, that does sound familiar, huh? Especially in, what, Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, Chicago, San Francisco, LA, New York.
Tear down that statue. Ban that book. Ban that word. Deplatform. Silence the dissenters.
That pointy-chinned punk Lenin at least had the balls to state his intentions more clearly than Marx and Engels. This is a direct quote from Vladimir Lenin. It does not matter if 3/4 of the human race perished. The important thing is that the remaining 1/4 be communist.
One of us! One of us!
It's remarkable how few people realize that virtually all of the division and hatred and misery in 21st century America is rooted in Marxism. Mr. Pointy Chin, he made a lot of other prescient quotations, and they really explain so much of what has happened to our country, like this one. Give me just one generation of youth and I'll transform the world. Well, he's had many generations, hasn't he? Or this one, the way to crush the bourgeois is to grind them between the millstones of taxation and inflation. You know, a lot of commie educators, they like to distort the meaning of bourgeois and claim it's the upper class. They lie. It's the middle class, the people who pay all the bills. Here's another nugget of truth from Lenin. The goal of socialism is communism. Well, Vlad was more honest than old Bernie Sanders. He has vehemently denied that his entire career. Here's a thought from Lenin for all the anti-gun asswipes out there in podcast land. One man with a gun can control 100 without one. Make mass searches and hold executions for found arms. And finally, medicine is the keystone of the arch of socialism. Obamacare, anyone? Now we live in this dystopia, a country that is literally coming unglued. In fact, fuck it, it is unglued. And there will be no leader or election that will reunite it. Ever. Anyone believes that some person can fix things is catastrophically naive. How did we get to this state of affairs? What could possibly reverse our slide into totalitarianism? Well, it started with the end of free speech, with an event that went unrecorded, but it happened nonetheless. That event was the first time somebody claimed words, or violence, and that they constituted bullying. And then some weak-minded coward agreed. That was it. That was the precise moment that free speech died. My pal Darren O'Neill, host of the Random Thoughts podcast, has mentioned that many times, and he's right. By the way, his show is R-A-N-D-U-M-B, thoughts.com. There has been a complete flip of the sticks and stones bromide, which carry generations of kids and adults through verbal confrontations without the intervention of authorities. Conventional wisdom says that a common enemy can bring a nation together, huh? World War II pulled America out of a depression. By the way, it was not the socialist programs of FDR. Those damn near destroyed America. So for a few years, everybody was very busy hating Germany and Japan. But that started to fall apart after the Korean War, and then Vietnam, well, that really put the hairline cracks in the mortar of America. And after Vietnam, America had maybe a quarter century or so of relative cohesiveness, but that Marxist fifth column was very busy behind the scenes. They were proselytizing in colleges and high schools, in every branch of the military, in every federal bureaucracy, from the FBI to the NSA, EPA, all the alphabet agencies. Then 9/11 triggered a brief period of American super solidarity. For a month or two, damn near every automobile was festooned with flags. People were gung-ho for vengeance, and suddenly it just stopped, and there was tremendous acrimony within. The media and some politicians claimed America deserved to have 3,000 citizens annihilated, that our foreign policies caused it and therefore justified the carnage. Since 9/11, America has grown steadily more divided. And then the pandemic. Finally, something everyone could hate with the multicultural, universally endorsed vitriol. Something that should have brought us together to be shoulder-to-shoulder buddies again. We didn't even have to send 18-year-olds to some shithole nation to kill or be killed. We wouldn't even have to ramp up the war machine and make filthy guns and bullets. We just had to hunker down over those microscopes and petri dishes, lie low for a couple weeks until the curve was flattened, and then we could all regroup and celebrate at the global virus victory party. It would be like VE and VJ Day combined and cubed. Doesn't seem to be working out that way. In fact, the reverse has happened. When the smoke clears, this fucking germ will result in more deaths by violence than by the comparatively less lethal illness it causes. Ooh, did somebody just gasp? Yeah. Look up mortality rates for smallpox, tuberculosis, malaria. By comparison, the Wuhan virus is a rank amateur. That's a fact. Right from the start, there seemed to be more emphasis on what to call it than how to cure it. It started as Wuhan, then quickly changed to Corona, but then became the amorphous, geopolitically neutral COVID-19. You know, all those other locales, they should lawyer up and start suing the piss out of anybody calling other ailments by their point of origin. Lyme, Connecticut, and Hong Kong, and those German measles, and so on. Fair is fair, right? Why should China be the only place that goes uncredited for a disease they invented? Once that two-week curve flattening stuff blew by, some people started getting pretty antsy, huh? Others? Well, they really seemed to love the lockdowns. Some of them were already basement-dwelling misanthropic germophobes, and when everybody had to be like them, well, they dug it. Some people also living very dull lives, well, they got kind of turned on by the drama. Suddenly, danger is everywhere. Now, with over 30 trillion of debt, inflation is on its way. We'll see what that does to the economy. When nations are in the grip of economic hardship, things can get ugly fast. And the never-ending hot-button issue, masks. Do they work or don't they? Well, depends on whose science you believe. But the upside is, nobody will have to wonder which side anybody is on. The masks indoors, crowded places, everybody can get that. But when they're worn outdoors, in wide open spaces, that has nothing to do with health considerations. That's solely a political statement. Same as an armband. Why do hivers tend to like masks so much? Well, what better way is there to crush individuality and make everyone the same? Just like those insects, huh? Even they can't tell each other apart. And masks, well, they help silence people, too. A single mask muffles speech, double masking and triple masking, and those plastic face shields, well, they're every bit as good as a goddamn gag. If you think the mask controversy is running hot, you ain't seen nothing yet. The vaccine battle will be the one that lights the fuse. People are being lied to of a magnitude that's hard to grasp. Being told that vaccines are 100% safe and tested and FDA approved. There have been about 1,000 deaths directly attributed to various COVID vaccines, none of which have been approved by the FDA. They've been approved on an emergency basis. Big difference. If you read the fine print, it's pretty clear. If you take the jab and keel over dead on the spot, or in a year or two discover full-grown broccoli plants growing out of your eyeballs, well, tough shit. The drug companies are indemnified, so no court in the land will take your lawsuit. And the FDA, well, they said right up front, you were warned. You knew the risks. Experimental is the operative word. The worst of it is going to be the pressure put on people to take the vaccine by those that already have. There's about to be a vaccine mandate. Ooh, that's another word that moistens panties. Same as lockdown, mandate. Ooh, hivers love to say mandate. But the thing is, masks are removable. Once you take those vaccines, specifically the Pfizer or Moderna ones, well, it's in you forever, editing your genetic material like some hacker reprogramming your computer. You can't spit it out like mouthwash. You can't piss it out by drinking lots of water. Many European nations have halted distribution of the AstraZeneca vaccine due to a multitude of deaths and debilitating side effects. You don't hear much about that in America, but it's true. And you have to deep dive to discover the same info stateside. CNN and the networks, well, they'd be broke without big pharma ad revenues. So they're not about to bite the drug-pushing hand that feeds them. The vaccine will be what leads to a flashpoint in America. There won't be goon squads and scrubs sent to your home to inject you. They'll simply starve you out with their vaccine app passport or bracelets, which in Europe and Israel they're already naming the Orwellian freedom bracelets. And if you can't shop at a supermarket, or go to a restaurant, or fill your car with gas, or visit a doctor, or a dentist, or attend school, or your job, how long will you be able to hold out against that shit? And so begins the big reset. The Hivers will proudly showcase their freedom bracelets, like some chick with an engagement ring. When they see a stranger, they'll look at your wrist. If there isn't a One of Us wristband, then they'll check their phones. For what? Well, you may recall a few years back, some wonk invented an app for singles that would scan a certain radius around and tell you if there was another app-using horn dog nearby. Seems pretty easy to do the same thing for the jab takers. If you're within range and your phone isn't pinging that you've taken the vaccine, they'll know, and then they can point and scream at you, just like the pod people in that Body Snatchers movie. This shit is not going away, not ever. There's too much money in it for drug companies, and too much power in it for government, and too much
togetherness
in it for the Hivers. Remember when this insanity started, huh? Every commercial, every store banner, every public service announcement said,
"We're in this together."
It sure doesn't look that way. So the migration has begun. People are fleeing Hive strongholds. The West Coast and the Northeast, they're leaving as fast as they can and relocating to places where people value freedom. But eventually, after a few years, the Hivers, they will invade those places too, because it's just in their nature. They will claim that the breath of all those millions of the unvaccinated, well, their breath is being blown over the walls, which will be built around those states, and that germ viral variant infused vapor across the plains of Texas and Oklahoma and the swamps of Florida, and their rogue respiration is infecting Hivers with variants. The vaunted variants. Ooh, that word will keep the bullshit coming and the needles jabbing and the pharmaceutical revenues flowing and the fear masks on faces forever. What's the fix? I have no idea. If you do, write and tell me at thatlarryshow@gmail.com. Or visit the show page at thatlarryshow.com, where you will find hundreds of other episodes, as well as more comment and commentary, pictures and videos. And while you're there, be sure to click a subscribe button wherever you listen, Apple, Podcast Addict, wherever. If you really like what you just heard, why not support the show and help me keep the commies at bay? Just click the Patreon or PayPal button. If you don't like the way they operate, you can always contribute via snail mail. The address is right there at thatlarryshow.com. There you will also find links. You can follow the show on Facebook and Twitter, and a newer social platform with far fewer Hivers and commies. It's called No Agenda Social. Until next Wednesday, unless it's absolutely imperative, why be a guinea pig for an experimental drug? Take no shot and no shit.